Our study this morning, I want to concentrate on a couple of passages, a couple of verses in Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12. Paul tells us what not to do, what we ought to do, how to do it, and why to do it. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In this study, Paul is concentrating, particularly in verse 2, his attention on what we must not do and what we must do. He's directing this study to Christians. These are individuals who really ought to know what they ought and ought not to do. In Romans chapter 1, there at verse 7, Paul said to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is addressing the saints there in Rome. These were people who had been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 talks about the living sacrifice that we ought to be involved in, giving ourselves totally and completely to the Lord. And then in verse 2 is the one that we want to really concentrate our study on in our time this morning. What not to do, what we must do, how we must do it, and why we must do it. This calls for a complete consecration. A life that has been transformed. Not conformed, but transformed. That involves our total being. Giving total and complete submission to God. Let's look first of all at this idea of not being conformed to this world. The word that's translated world here involves the idea of an age or a period of time. And it is marked in New Testament usage by a spiritual or moral characteristic. A spiritual or moral connotation is placed on this idea and translated by the word world. So we understand that Paul is not talking about this physical earth on which we live. But he's talking about the things that make up our society. The word conform means to fashion or to shape one thing like another. We understand that the world in which we live today is temporary. It's not going to last. Transitory. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, Peter said, "For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works of therein shall be burned up." The world, generally speaking, is in rebellion against God. We, as children of God, as Christians, might refer to ourselves as loyal soldiers in rebel territory. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, that we don't conform ourselves to the enemy. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him and chose him to be a soldier. We don't become entangled with or conform ourselves to the affairs of this life because we have been chosen to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. We're not talking necessarily about customs. In different locations, we sometimes must conform to different customs. If you go into a different country, you'll find the customs quite different. A young lady who just married not too long ago married a young gospel preacher, and they moved to a foreign country. This young lady has been having to get used to foreign customs. It's not been easy for her to leave the society in which she was raised and to be suddenly transported to a foreign country and there to be exposed to all the various different customs of that society. That's not really what Paul is dealing with here in this context. Because Paul himself said he became different to different people. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, there beginning in verse 20, he said, unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak, I became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. You know, notice in that context, when Paul is talking about this idea of being like others, he said to the Jews, became I as a Jew. Now, Paul literally was a Jew by birth. He was a Roman citizen also by birth, but he was a Jew. But he was no longer a physical Jew. He's now part of spiritual Israel. And so he would say to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To those that are under the law, I became as under the law. He didn't say I became under the law, but I became as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. Notice the parenthetical expression there, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ. What Paul says there in all these different situations when he was with a particular group of people that may have had different customs, they may be practicing a different religion, then he tried to, as much as was possible, be like them. He didn't become without law. He's still under the law of Christ. In all this, he submitted himself to the law of Christ. But he did try to conform himself to some of the customs. And so that's not what Paul is talking about here. This conformity is not necessarily directed at custom, because sometimes that becomes necessary. When he says, be not conformed, he's talking about in the thinking and the standards of the world. As John would write, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then he identifies what's in the world, what he's talking about. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Lord abideth forever. These things are not of the Father, they are of the world. That has to do with the thoughts, the ideology of those who make up the world. We're dealing with religious and moral standards, the language and or habits of the people who make up a society. And we live in a very ungodly society. If you turn your television on, you have to be very careful about what channel you put it on, what show is on, because of the language and because of the dress or lack of dress. Some of the programming is very, very immoral and ungodly. The society in which we live today, to some degree, emulates or reflects the standards that have been set by television over the years. And obviously, that's a result of those who plan the programs and produce the programs that are put on the air. But our society emulates and reflects those standards because that's, for the most part, what they have been exposed to the most. And that's the idea that Paul is dealing with. Do not be conformed to those religious and moral standards of the world. So, don't do this. This is what you must not do. Then he says, here's what you must do. Be ye transformed, but be ye transformed. This idea of transformation involves undergoing a complete change. And this change under God's power expresses itself in character and conduct. This stresses an inward change that results in an outward change. The $64 word for that is metamorphosis. And if you know your biology a little bit, you'll understand that that word has to do with a complete physical change in appearance and structure. It's what happens to a caterpillar when it becomes a butterfly. What comes out of the cocoon doesn't look anything at all like what was wrapped up in it. A complete change from the inside out. You see, the only alternative to conformity to the world is conformity to the will of God. That's the only two choices we got. We either conform to the world and its standards, its morals, its religion, whatever they might be, or else we're conformed to God, his standards. What he would have us to do is be religiously. So in order to be conformed to God, we have to be transformed by the power of God. And we understand that that power that will transform us is indeed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, this is verse 17, therein, that is in the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God. God's righteousness, God's right doing, his right dealing is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, there at verse 6, Paul would say there that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old man, Paul says in Colossians 3 and verse 9, is put off. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. Something has been done away with. Our old self. Our old desires. Obviously, there's no change in physical appearance when a person becomes a Christian, when we submit ourselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ and are obedient to it. We still look the same physically. But there's a change that takes place within our hearts. There's a metamorphosis that takes place. We're made over from the inside out. We no longer act the same. We put on the new man, Ephesians chapter 4, there's verse 24. And put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is a new man that's created in righteousness and true holiness. Is one that conforms to God's standards and not man's standards. Transformed. Paul will say, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Now Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, how one becomes that new creature. He said, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We become those new creatures by being submissive to God's will, changing our minds and that results in a change of action that causes us to be made over into God's image, just as surely as man was made in the image of God in the very beginning. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, man wasn't made in God's image from a physical standpoint, because God's not physical. But in some sense, man was made in the image of God. That is, man was a spiritual being. When God created man was created to serve God, to do God's will. But as we all are well aware, man chose to disobey, to disregard what God had said, and conform themselves to the standard of the devil, the world. And as a result, they're no longer in the image of God. But we can be brought back into the image of God. We're not merely reformed or remodeled, but we are rebuilt. We're made over. As we would say today, from the ground up, we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so that brings about the question, how? Some things you don't do. You don't conform yourself to the world. You're transformed. Well, how are you transformed? He says, by the renewing of your mind. Our minds are made over. Psalms 23 verse 7, David said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you are begins in your heart. I don't care who you are, what you do, how successful you are. Whoever, whatever you are, it begins in your heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. The animal kingdom depends on hereditary and environment. And yes, I know that there is a sense which some of the things we do is a result of heredity, and it's also a result of environment. But we as human beings have something besides heredity and environment. We have the ability to reason. Animals do not have the ability that man has to think, to reason, to know, and to understand as a result of reading and studying and meditating on the things that happen around us, and thinking about the things that other people do and say, and above all, reading and studying and meditating on God's Word. You know the old question, is it nature or nurture? Well, it's part nature, and it's part nurture. Our children grow up as a result of nature. That's the natural process for children to grow up. They become adults. And part of what they are and who they are is the result of nurture. You know, Paul said to the Ephesians, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, the teaching and the training, that's nurture. But there's something beyond what nature and nurture does as far as human beings are concerned. Some young people have grown up and become adults, and they have been nurtured by their parents. They have been taught and trained, but as a result of their own thinking, they leave. Jesus told a story about what we call the prodigal son. He had a brother. They raised the same way, apparently. This son came to his father and said, I want what's mine. He gave it to him. He went, wasted his substance and riotous living in a far country. He chained himself in a pig pen. He had reason. He could see where he had gone to, how far down he had sunk. He said, how many hired servants does my father have? They have plenty to eat, and I'm starving to death. ready to eat the husk, what I'm feeding the pigs. I'll arise and I go to my father and I say, I've sinned against heaven and against you. No more worthy to be called thy son. There's the idea of reason, the ability to think, to reason, to know and to understand. Sometimes people don't ever reach that point. But we have the ability to do that. That's the point that we're dealing with here. This new motivating force in their minds. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our minds are made over. And this takes place, this renewing of the mind, this new motivating force is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we note it in Romans 1 verse 16. It is the power of God to salvation. The word that's translated power there is the same word we get our word dynamite from, or the word dynamo. It's a very powerful force. What will it do? It will make over the lives of men and women. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching to those people there, you understand that these were people who had literally cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Let his blood be on our head and the heads of our children. You remember what Peter preached to them? He preached about Jesus and him crucified. He said this same Jesus whom you crucified had been made both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. There's an idea of reasoning, thinking, based on evidence. When they heard this, when they heard about Jesus, they were cut to the heart, cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? They realized they needed to do something. This power is appropriated through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11, verse 6 said, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. It's absolutely essential that a person believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Then when they believe Jesus to be the Son of God, that he died for their sins, then they're willing to repent, turn from their sins. As Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, repent or perish. And as Peter said in Acts 2, repent and be baptized. Turning from sins is absolutely essential. And that individual then is willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You remember the Ethiopian. When he said, see, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon this confession, he went down in the water and was baptized for the remission of his sins. Acts 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's being made over by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then as children of God, as Christians, our mind is continually renewed day by day by a certain age. It is aided by the Holy Spirit, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, how does the Spirit of God dwell in us? When, without going into a long dissertation about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, let me say that he dwells in us through the medium of this right here. As God's Word dwells in us, the Holy Spirit dwells in us because the Holy Spirit revealed his Word. Jesus promised his disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit and he would guide them into all truth, bring the remembrance of all things that Jesus had said to them, and would show them things to come. And so they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit told them what to say. And they wrote it down, so we have it today. And so the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And then we continue to study and to meditate upon God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. You read that in newer translations, it will say, give diligence to show yourself approved unto God. That involves hard work. Give diligence to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing, or handling aright the word of truth. The word is like a mirror, James chapter 1, verse 25. Whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Psalm 119, verse 105, compared it to a lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He goes on to say, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. It's through the word of God that we understand. It illuminates our path. That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Then prayer connects the person to his God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. We ought always to pray. Never stop praying. We allow God to talk to us through His Word, then we talk to God in prayer. And as we observe the memorial feast, as we did earlier, we remember the death and suffering of our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. We're remembering, showing His death until He come. So, He's told us now what not to do, what to do. Then He's told us how we do this. Now He tells us why. As we live the kind of life that we ought to live, Proverbs 11, verse 30 says that we're going to win souls. And this is involved in the why. We prove the will of God. The word prove means to show forth, to manifest or make known. Why do we not have more people in this assembly today than we do? Well, obviously there are many, many reasons why. Some that are not here are normally here. But why is this building not full to overflowing? We got the greatest message that man has ever heard. We got the greatest future to look forward to that we could ever even imagine. More than we can imagine. Why do not more people attend the worship services of the Lord's church? I'll suggest one reason to you. Now, obviously, that's not the only reason, but I think one of the primary reasons. Because people are attracted or repelled by the lives of Christians. That puts us on the hot seat. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5? There, verse 13 through 16, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. If you lose your ability to influence others, you're not any good in the kingdom. Salt influences the flavor of food. Salt is a preservative. Salt has medicinal properties. There are a number of things involved in the idea of us being salt. One is the influence that we have on the world. The saving power that which we espouse can have over the world. That is the gospel. Jesus goes on to say, ye are the light of the world. The city that's set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick and give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine. And you think a little bit about that little word, so. Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We let our light shine in such a way that others can see Christ living in us. I'm persuaded that one of the primary reasons why we don't have more people in the family of God today than we do is because of us. Now, I understand, that's not the only reason, I understand that. But I wonder sometimes if we really are letting our light shine so people can see Christ living in us. They really see how important the Lord and His will is to us. Now, obviously some will see and won't be concerned. They won't care. But there are those out there who, when they see what Christianity means to us, will wonder about why it means so much to us. And they may want to study with us regarding the reasons why we do what we do and to live the way that we live. Paul said the will of God is good, is acceptable, and perfect. And we must make known that by the life that we live, by our transformed life, that ye may prove or show forth, manifest, make known, what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's what our lives are supposed to be doing. Showing to other people God's will. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that is, by spending time with the Word of God. So you can demonstrate the will of God in your life. This transforming power is available to all who will accept it, with the conditions that are contained within it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that transforming power. And it will make us into new creatures. But it must be obeyed before we become those new creatures. A little green caterpillar will never become a butterfly unless it does what nature and heredity has taught it to do. You think about that. That little caterpillar has to do something before it becomes a butterfly. Now, he does it as a result of nature, what's built into it, what God designed him to do. Now, there's a certain extent in regard to us as human beings that we are that way. There are some things that we do by nature. Paul talked about the Gentiles doing by nature the things contained in the law. Some things we do that are right because we just know it's the right thing to do. But in regard to our salvation, in regard to becoming a new creature, we can't do it ourselves. Jeremiah said, "Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man to walk, to direct his steps. I don't have the capability, and you don't have the capability of designing your own plan to save your soul. God has done that for you. And he's revealed it to you in the gospel of Jesus Christ." The question that you must answer, that each one of us must answer today, is have I allowed my life to be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes, there's something I have to do in order for that to happen. As we noted, I had to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I had to be willing to repent of my sins and then confess my faith in Jesus as the Son of God. And then I can be immersed in water for the remission of my sins. The Lord then will add me to His kingdom, to His family, to the church. I have been made over by the power of the gospel into a new creature that God will own as His own. He will add me to His family. I'll be His child. Now, if you've not done that, we'd urge you to do it today. If you have and you haven't lived up to the teachings of God's Word in making sure your life continues to be conformed to His will. Your life is transformed by the renewing of your mind on a daily basis, showing by your life that you are indeed a child of God. The spiritual things are the most important things in your life. And so if you're a Christian, you're not showing that in your life. You're not really conforming yourself to the teachings of God. You're not being transformed. You're conforming yourself to the world. If you're in that condition, you can remedy it this very day. If you repent of your sins, confess them, and ask God to forgive you, He's promised that He will. You can be His child if you're willing to respond in obedience to His will. You can do that right now as we stand and sing for your encouragement.